So over the course of this past week, you know, we had some data out of the US, but also, of course, we had the Fed meeting. And just looking at the data first, there's some signs of softness still, you know, running, I say still, through the housing sector. It's been occurring for a month or two there, as it has in many other advanced economies for housing because of higher interest rates. But some of those housing readings we got last week, two were weak. There was one quirky bounce. So the two that were weak were the National Association of Home Builders Index, and this one came down from 49 to 46 for the most recent reading. Market was looking for 47, so it's a bit softer than expected. And that's where you expect to see a lot of the pressure at the moment building in many of the economies, and key lead indicators like housing is there in the leading part of builders putting in for permission to build. So home building permits for the month of August were expected to be down by 4.5%. They were down by 10%, and that was after being down 0.6% the month before. But we had a bounce, mainly because we had such a weak reading the month before for housing starts. So, you know, housing actually getting going. There was a lift, a surprise lift of 12.2% month on month, after a revised 10.9% reduction the month before. So in some senses, it's just catching up that big fall that we had the month before. And we had existing home sales, which were down another 0.4% after a very large 5.7% fall going back the month before. Elsewhere, we had old-style manufacturing purchasing managers indices for September and services sector PMI coming out. The manufacturing PMI, the old-style one, actually improved to 51.8 from 51.5. That one's still above the expansion contraction line at 50 on that survey. The services sector PMI, and the old-style services sector PMI, took quite a dive to 43.7, going back to the month of August. It jumped to 49.2, so almost recovering to that 50 pip part for the most recent month. And on top of that, we had initial jobless claims, which are still down 213,000 for the most recent week, still point to a lot of tightness running through the labour market. And yeah, that essentially is the problem that the Fed faces. It has to bring back demand in the US economy, and it's got a labour market which is still way too strong for that. It's got wages growth which are threatening to keep inflation running for a period to come. And so the Fed hikes their the funds rate by 75 basis points. So the top of their range now is 3.25% from 2.5%. But also the forecasts that the Fed provided indicated that they've got a way to go yet. When they're looking at their one-year projection of where the Fed funds rate will be, that's up at 4.6%. And even in the second year, it does come back a bit as the economies anticipate to soften, but back to 3.9. There was also an admission in the press conference given by Jerome Powell that, you know, recession risk is there for the United States, but you know, they have to get on top of the inflation problem. And not only will it require interest rates to go a little bit higher than expected in the near term, but they're going to have to stay there for a period too. So that's, you know, obviously took quite a toll as far as market sentiment is concerned. And it's not the only central bank which is giving out those same sorts of messages. We've had some pretty big hikes coming through from other central banks as well. This week in the US, we've got Jerome Powell speaking again. Obviously, we listened to pretty carefully about his feelings about what the Fed has to do with monetary policy, but he won't be saying anything different, I would think, from what they said going back to the Fed meeting last week. We have a number of economic readings coming out. One of them's a fairly key one later in the week, and that's the core personal consumption expenditure price deflator. This is the Fed's preferred inflation measure, and that one comes out on Friday. It was at 4.6% year-on-year, going back to the month of July. it looks as if it's going to come in at 4.7%, a little bit higher for the most recent month. And this is the problem in the United States, that even though we've got goods prices, which are now stabilizing to some degree with the resolution of some of the supply-side problems, and we've had a little bit of a pullback running through energy prices too, as global demand for energy is starting to come back, we've got stickiness, in fact, actually some increases running through services prices, which are taking over. That may take a lot longer to get out of the system. So it means that the Fed's target, which is 2% inflation, and that largely relates to the core PCE rather than, say, the CPI, it's just not going to get there any time in the over the next year or two. And so that's where it's got to push interest rates up a lot more and take a risk with recession and a rising unemployment rate in the United States. And that's all a fair way in the future. Just some of these other numbers which are coming out through the course of this week. We have things like house prices. House prices are still rising at 18.6% year on year. That was going back to the month of June. They are expected to decelerate a bit to 17% year on year. But that's a different story from here. You know, here we've got house prices which are really starting to fade now. In the US, they're still actually quite high, and they're still up a long way compared to where they were last year. We have new home sales. Well, that part of housing is coming back, so we're expecting a 2.2% fall in August new home sales after a 12.6% fall the month before. So housing is certainly taking quite a pounding, as it will with pending home sales, which come out this week as well for the month of August. They're expected to come down by about 1% after being down 1% the month before. And then later in the week, together with the core personal consumption expenditure deflator readings, we get August personal consumption, personal spending. And these are still holding up relatively well. You know, yes, the U.S. economy at the edge is fading, but it was running pretty strongly. The August personal consumption readings expect to be up 0.3% after being up 0.2% the month before. And personal consumption expenditure expects to be up 0.2% after being up 0.1% the month before. So, we've still got some sort of fair bit of strength running through these particular numbers. Out of China, there was nothing of note last week. I suppose in a way it was there on the politics. You can see just China's not quite so happy with its relationship with Russia at the moment, and is starting to change slightly to criticising Russia and some of what it's doing in the Ukraine. So, another one of those stories on the geopolitical front last week was obviously the saber-rattling from Russia as it suffers losses in Ukraine, of how it's going to deal with those, and together with the sham referendum sort of running through the Russian-controlled districts, and if the West then decides it's going to support actions by Ukraine, then that becomes a nuclear threat and all these sorts of things. Nothing particularly new in any of that, but obviously that whole geopolitical side of things is becoming somewhat more threatening. So it's quite encouraging that China's just starting to change slightly the way in which it's talking about its view of Russia's campaign in the Ukraine. This week there'll be a bit of data out of China. It's all purchasing managers indices. The manufacturing PMIs sitting below 50. We had the official manufacturing PMI for August. It was at 49.4. It's expected to come down to 49.2. That comes out Friday this week. The services sector PMI, which was running a little bit better than that at 52.6, probably holding around that sort of level. They're okay-ish, the numbers coming out of China, but nothing particularly strong, and China's economy has actually been softening over the course of the last few months. In Australia, we had the RBA minutes. All that we had in there was just an interesting indication. We had it from the Reserve Bank Governor that even last month, the debate was whether they should have raised by 25 basis points or 50. They settled for 50. But this actually distinguishes Australia a little bit from the rest of the world, in the sense that our inflation problem is not quite as great as the problem elsewhere internationally. You know, most countries in Europe and also the United States, you know, have been grappling with inflation, which has been very close to 10%, in some cases a bit above 10%, whereas we look as if we're going to peak out at around about in the sevens. There's still a very high inflation rate by our standards, but it's a good 2 to 3 percentage points lower on peak than the inflation rates elsewhere internationally. And we haven't quite got some, although we've got building wage pressure, it's still running about half the pace of the United States. So that does give a bit more flexibility in this cycle of rising interest rates for the Reserve Bank to do less than its peers internationally. So that's where, you know, even coming up to the next Reserve Bank meeting, same debate, you know, should they do 25, should they do 50? They may come down in favour of 25 this time. Everywhere else, it's minimum we do is 50. We probably have to do 75s and in some cases 1s. In Sweden, central bank there did a 1% interest rate hike. You've got Bank of Canada, which did 75. You've got US, which is doing 75. So you've got this bit of a difference between Australia and what is happening elsewhere. This week, we get some data, and we get on Wednesday, August, retail sales. Retail sales are expected still to be reasonably firm. You know, we've still got this rush to spend. You don't have to go any further than once you get the school holidays and what happens at the airports to realise that people are spending on services, particularly travel, like there's no tomorrow, even though their mortgage costs have gone up. August retail sales are expected to lift another 0.3% after being up 1.3% the month before. And as I say, are actually quite firm. There's quite strong domestic spending running through that. And later this week, we also get the August quarter official job vacancies. Going back to the May quarter, job vacancies were 480,100. That was up 13.8% quarter on quarter and up 29.7% year on year. They've probably risen even further. And so, you know, there's a fair chance we'll be knocking on the door 500,000 job vacancies. And that will be set against the total number of people unemployed at 470,000. So job vacancies are still marching further away from the total number of people we've got unemployed here. So we've still got this tightness running through the labour market here, and you know, that still keeps some pressure to the Reserve Bank, you know, even with rather better indicators otherwise. Europe last week, and Europe is at imminent risk of falling into recession. When we look ahead, there's now little doubt that because of what the central banks are doing, we are going to be mighty close to recession in many cases. US almost certainly will fall into recession because the Fed has to be more aggressive for a while longer yet. Europe is at imminent risk of recession, largely because of the supply problems for energy as they move into the winter months in the Northern Hemisphere, so recession comes quickest to them. They are still having to lift interest rates relatively aggressively there. So when we look at the numbers, we had consumer confidence came out of Europe last week. We had manufacturing and services sector purchasing managers indices, all of them now clearly pointing to weak economic growth. Consumer confidence was -28.8 from -25.00, the expansion contraction line. So it's well below that. The manufacturing PMI, all these are 50, is the expansion contraction line. So the manufacturing PMI was at 49.6 going back to August, so already below 50. It went further below at 48.5 for the most recent month. The services sector PMI, that was at 49.8 going back to August, came down a bit further to 48.9 for September. In amongst all this, on the edge of Europe there with the UK, we had something. Liz Truss is obviously going for broke with what she's planning to do. So some of the things she's done so far in her very short prime ministership today, and together with a new Chancellor of the Exchequer, they brought down a mini budget at the end of last week. And so before the mini budget, you know, they'd already spent a very large amount of money, or proposed to spend a lot of money, to put caps on energy energy prices running through this coming winter and the winter beyond in the UK. And then they've doubled up with the mini budget, where they're reducing taxes, so things like the top rate tax rate, 45p in the pound, coming down to 40, the minimum tax rate coming down from 19p to 18p, the proposed lift that was there and for company tax rate, which was supposed to be going from 18% to 25%, has been abandoned, and a number of other tax changes as well. It's, as a package, it's the most expensive tax cuts seen in over 40 years in the UK. That's together with the very expensive support, and it's all going to be on public sector borrowing. And so Britain's public sector borrowing requirement is going to skyrocket. Not surprisingly, the budget was taken very negatively, because ostensibly you've got the government where you've got a problem of too much demand still in the UK, which is partly driving inflation, adding to that pressure on inflation by trying to drive demand even harder. And at the same time as the Bank of England is trying to get control of things, the Bank of England meeting was ahead of all this, the development of the mini budget. So the Bank of England lifted rates by 50 basis points at its most recent meeting to 2.25%, but it's now almost obliged to go much more aggressively than that over the course of the next few months. So you will have very much the government with its foot on the accelerator, as the Bank of England has its foot on the brake. And not surprisingly, financial markets just threw up their hands in despair, totally trashed the pound, and they'll do a bit more of that for quite a while to come. And at some point, we're probably going to see British bond yields, which have been sitting below, for example, even our bond yields, going to go way higher than our bond yields on this this change that's occurred. So some very, very disturbing developments, really, in some ways, over the course of the past week. And in Europe this week, we have September and business consumer confidence coming out. That's probably going to come back to 95 from 97.6. We also have the September CPI in Europe. That's going to go up, we think, to 9.6% year-on-year from 9.1%. So that certainly won't be helpful. And that comes out on Friday. And their unemployment rate, which is still very, very low. They've still got very tight labour markets running through Europe. That's sitting down at 6.6%, expect to stay down there. Yeah, that may sound high, but remember about a year ago this was over 11% for the unemployment rate there. That's come down a hell of a long way. And it's the lowest unemployment rate seen at any time over the last 25 years. So all told, the pressure points are still there as we go through the course of this week, digesting what the Fed did last week. We've got some risks that central banks still have a fair way to go. If anything, our central bank has less to do than most, but we've still got to lift rates a fair way from here yet before we're finished. Yes, the risks are still there. And, as I mentioned last week, and that was before we got all the carnage that went through markets last week, if we ever get to the stages where you get these quirky rallies that run through from time to time, you can push them for a little while, but beware, we're still a long way from over for these rumbling bear markets, which are running through both bond markets and through equity markets, and they still have some way to go.